Life goes on long after the thrill of living is gone. Hi, everyone. This is Martin Zender, working wonders for another week here. Welcome. Thursday. Last Thursday, we had a nice visit here by a couple folks from, where's that Amish country out in Pennsylvania? No, not Harrisburg. That's the state capital. What is it? No, not Millersburg. That's in Ohio. There are a lot of Millers living in Millersburg. What? No, not Yodersville. No, what is it? It's in Pennsylvania. Lancaster. Yeah, a couple guys, father and son came in from Lancaster, Richard and Jake Schneider. It was great to have them. I'm going to have a photo of them on my blog. Go to martinzender.com and head over to Zenderville. It was great. They live in Amish country. And you know how much I poke fun at the Amish because they're just crazy. They're lunatics, the Amish and the Mennonites, and they are so bizarre. We heard some really crazy stories. They're crazier than I thought, you know. There's one sect that says you can have rubber on your tires. There's another sect that says you can't have rubber on your tires. And there are chrome sects. Yeah, chrome sects. No, sects, I said. S-E-C-T-S. Stop that. S-E-C-T-S. You could put, some of them have chrome on their car. To others, chrome is a sin. And apparently there are families that use chrome, and if, that don't use chrome, but if a family member suddenly uses chrome, then you can shun them. And I guess the Amish, rather than the Mennonites, the Amish love to shun. Oh, that's their favorite thing to do. The Mennonites are catching on, but the Amish, they're shunning son of a bitches, I'm telling you. It's a great religion. I highly not recommend it. But we were sitting at the dining room table, and I just thought how amazing it was. Here are these people dressed in dreary black, and the women wear these hoods. They call them bonnets or whatever. They're like horse blinders. And they look spooky. The Amish women are extremely spooky. You see them hanging out on the corner with their buggy selling bread. And these people are so careful to do everything right on Sunday, which is supposedly the Sabbath, but it's not. Saturday is the Sabbath. Oops. Well, you got one thing wrong there. One out of, you know, 106,000 other things that you have wrong. But anyway, it's so amazing that they're straining, and the mustaches are evil in the Amish. You can have a beard, but not a mustache. And I asked Jake and Richard what the deal is with no mustaches, and they didn't know. I have to find out. Why is a mustache unholy? Beard, yeah, I got that. Beard's holy. But you think that a mustache would be just as holy, and I don't understand why. I need to know. But here's the amazing thing. The Amish, for all their care, trying to do everything right, they don't have diddly squat for truth. They have nothing, zero, zilch. They have no truth. They have anti-truth. They don't understand anything. They don't have one thing figured out. They're vacant, void, no vacancy, no rooms available at the inn of knowledge there. It's just incredible. And then there are morons like us who are drinking wine and enjoying life and putting chrome on our car. I got rubber on my tires, and God's just unloading the whole picnic basket of truth. He's giving us everything he has, everything. He's unloading the suitcases. He's taking stuff out of the attic. He's unloading truth on us. I want you to have all this. But God, don't you realize that I have chrome on my car and rubber on my tires? And that I think impure thoughts, which are actually quite pure, and that I don't observe the Sabbath day. I don't even observe the wrong Sabbath day. I mean, I don't sell bread. I don't make pies. I don't use shortening. I don't have a laundry line that's 1,700 miles long. I'm an idiot. I do everything wrong, and yet you unload the picnic basket. I mean, there's the lint basket of truth God has dumped on us, and we have this amazing information about the eons, about the salvation of all, about what God's plan is, and he's winking at us. He's hanging out with us, and these poor, 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 poor Amish people are out there in their misery and their horse blinders and their... The horses have blinders too, and the women have blinders, and everybody has blinders, and the whole frickin' organization is blind, just from top to bottom. Zip! Oh, they're not allowed to have zippers. No, the Amish have to button their pants. There's no, you don't unzip to have sex when you're an Amish, you unbutton. Would you like to unbutton for some sex? Yes, I would. Well, okay, then turn out the lights, put on your hat, and let's go to it. All right, now we're going to get to 2 Timothy. Oh, I love it. I could talk about the Amish for hours. I just absolutely love them. I thank God they're on the planet. So now we're in 2 Timothy, and I told you I was going to talk about a pattern of sound words, and indeed I am. Great news in verse 10. We covered that on Friday. Christ Jesus, who abolishes death, yet illuminates life and incorruption through the evangel of which I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher of the nations, for which cause I am suffering these things also, but I'm not ashamed. And it's like Paul has to keep repeating that to himself. I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed. It's so easy to be ashamed. For I am aware whom I have believed. Why is that important to say? Why is that important to say? Is that your question? Because the same thing happened to his master. He's aware whom he has believed. He's believing the one who was spared none of this. The inaugurator of our faith was spared nothing. And so everything we're going through, he's been through. Oh my gosh, that is so comforting. We do not have a Savior who doesn't know what we're going through. He's been here. And he took the whole weight of it before we were even born. And that is precious to me. Very precious to me. And it was precious to Paul. I'm aware whom I have believed. And he focused on him because he set an example for Paul. Grace under pressure, as a lamb led to the slaughter, he did not open his mouth. What great behavior. What amazing grace. Take the high road. Take the high road. The high road is grace. Be nice to your enemies. Call them on the phone. Send them nice notes and pray for them. Pray for those who hate you. This is an amazing power to tap into, I'm finding. It's great. It's become my new hobby. All right. Now I am persuaded he is able to guard that which is committed to me for that day. Verse 13, have a pattern of sound words, which you hear from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. Why are sound words so important now? Because now the word of God is complete. Colossians 1:25, the apostle Paul completed the word of God. And now we have a full orbed, love to use that phrase whenever I can, there's a hyphen in there. Don't forget that. Full-orbed revelation. Everything that you ever wanted to know about God and that has pleased God to tell us is in this book. And this has taken the place of the institution. You used to get truth in the institution. Now you get truth from the scriptures. The institution was torn down as the scriptures were built up. And that's why there's an emphasis. We're going to see this in 2 Timothy, there's an emphasis here on the Word of God, on correctly cutting the Word of God, on having a pattern of sound words. And I have been criticized, and I know a lot of people have who study the Word of God. You know, we're just not spiritual enough because we study. Why do you people study so hard? Just flow with the Spirit. Just go to sleep at night, and Jesus will speak to you through your pillow. And you will get the revelations in the shower, and you will have many wonderful thoughts that will probably all be wrong. But it doesn't matter, because you're flowing in the Spirit and you don't have to work. Paul also says in this book, be an unashamed workman. He says that right before he tells Timothy to correctly cut, or the King James, rightly divide the word of truth. Sound words, and words are spiritual. Words are spiritual, right? People say, you guys use words, but we flow in the Spirit. Well, I got news for you. This is going to be a great revelation to a lot of people. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12, starting with, Paul says, now we obtained not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may be perceiving that which is being graciously given to us by God. So God's graciously giving us all this stuff, unloading the lint basket, the picnic basket, cleaning out the attic, throwing truth, everything he has, emptying his pockets. It's all on the table for us, but we have to perceive it. We want to perceive it. And Paul's always praying for the believers to perceive what God is giving us. And so here's his prayer here again. We've not obtained the spirit of the world, because the spirit of the world doesn't care to perceive the things of God. In fact, I'll say this, I'll be so bold as to say that the Pentecostal movement, with this flowing in the Spirit and getting these magic revelations while you're on your exercise bike, that's the spirit of the world. I hate to tell you, but it's soulish. It's emotional. Looking for the next thrill, looking for the next high. Well, this isn't about thrills or highs. This is about knowing the mind of God through studying the Word. It's not very sexy, I know that. But it's sexy as hell if you think that spirituality and knowing God is sexy. And I personally think it is. So therefore, I think studying the Word of God and having a concordance and doing word studies, I think that's extremely sexy. And I don't know why anyone else, I don't know why anyone wouldn't think so. I don't know why anyone wouldn't agree with me. So now, we didn't obtain the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we may be perceiving that which is being graciously given to us by God. And what we're speaking not with words. This is Paul. We're speaking truth to you, not with words taught by human wisdom, but with those taught by the Spirit, matching spiritual blessings with spiritual words. This is great. Spiritual words. I love this. And 1 Corinthians 2. Now, the common denominator here is words. We're not speaking to you with words taught by human wisdom, but with words taught by the Spirit. It's still words. We're still dealing with words. The difference is now we're not dealing in words of human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, matching spiritual blessings, which are invisible, which are given us by God. We're matching those with spiritual words because it is the words which describe the spiritual blessing. God, I love it when I make this much sense. Thanks, folks, for tuning in today. This has been Martin Zender. I'm going to unleash some more truth to you tomorrow. It's just right here in the scriptures. I'm just relaying it to you. Love to be the messenger. Thanks for not shooting me, and I'll look for you tomorrow. Thank you. God bless.